I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, wishing one and all a very blessed Lunar New Year. Please turn your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 18, where we're going to study one particular aspect of King Jehoshaphat's life. This is our third message on our series on the New Evangelicalism. We study about its history, where the founder was Harold Ockinger in the year 1948 as the president of Fuller Theological Seminary. He openly, publicly declared for the first time, "I'm no longer a fundamentalist, I'm a new evangelical." He found fundamentalism distasteful. He threw the baby out together with the bathwater. And last week, we studied about the soul, the heartbeat of neo-evangelicalism, where it is one of compromise, where they want to befriend those who are outside Christ, those who are against Christ, not just unbelievers, but belligerent, anti-Christ believers, liberals and modernists who cast doubts on God's word. The new evangelicals would want to befriend them, hoping to influence them and change them. And what we have here in 2 Chronicles chapter 18 is an account of a king, a man who had great influence, a king who ruled his nation. Not any ordinary nation, but the people of God. He was the king of Judah. By this time, Israel had been divided into two nations. This occurred because of King Solomon's many wives and compromises and sin. He brought idolatrous worship into Jerusalem and destroyed Israel. And so as a punishment, God said, "I will have to divide the kingdom into the north, made up of 10 tribes, and the south, made up of 2 tribes, plus the Levites." Jehoshaphat was from the south. It was called Judah. Because of these 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin, Judah became the more dominant of the two. And so the southern kingdom was called Judah, whereas the northern kingdom, comprised of 10 tribes, retained the name Israel. And so what we have here in chapter 18, verse 1, is the name Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, Ahab, the king of Israel. Now Ahab's wife, perhaps more well known than Ahab himself, her name was Jezebel. Please do not call your daughter Jezebel. It's a terrible name. Not a good name, because the wife was a very fierce woman, very domineering, very, very powerful, but extremely evil and wicked. Her daughter's name was Athaliah, following after the mother's footstep. Later on, you realize that she would slaughter her own grandchildren, so that she could be the next king of Judah. That was Athaliah. Jehoshaphat was the king of the south, where they were supposed to be better than the north. They had the right place of worship. They had the Levitical priesthood to assist them, to teach them God's word. And Jehoshaphat was said to be a good king, albeit he had many, many faults. And one of the greatest faults in Jehoshaphat's life and reign was his compromise. And in this chapter, he described, or the Bible described for us, his compromise. Now, in this chapter, we are not told, but it is found in 2 Kings, 1 Kings, as well as in other passages of the Bible, where Jehoshaphat has allow his son, Jehoram, the oldest, to marry Athaliah, Ahab's and Jezebel's daughter. So it was a marriage that had already taken place. And so it was relative visiting relative when we read of Jehoshaphat went up to visit Ahab. This joint affinity was first by marriage and then by political alliance. And obviously with political alliance, you also have economic alliances. So this was what Jehoshaphat did. And after certain years, he went down to Ahab to Samaria, even though it was in the north, it is said to be went down because Jerusalem was a very high point in Palestine. And so if he were to descend from Jerusalem to any part of Israel, it would be going down, even though he was traveling up north. Just like when you travel up to Malaysia, you say, we are going up north. We're going up. We don't go down. If you go down, you go down to Australia. So it is not up and down from the horizontal perspective, but down from the vertical perspective. All right. So he went down to Ahab to Samaria. So please don't interpret this and allegorize it and see he went down. That means spiritually he went down. It is nothing about spiritually he went down. Of course, spiritually he also went down. But that is not the interpretation here in verse 2. He killed sheep, that is Ahab, to welcome his relative, the king from the south, Jehoshaphat. And he killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance and for the people that he had with him. And he persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth Gilead. And Ahab, king of Israel, said to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, will thou go with me to Ramoth Gilead? Now this was the confrontation with the Philistines. The Philistines were giving Ahab a great deal of problems. They lived near the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. They were giants, they were warriors, and they were attacking Israel. And so Ahab needed help. And he asked Jehoshaphat, will you go up with me? And then Jehoshaphat replied, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, and we will be with thee in the war. He knew that it was a battle. Now, if you want to have a definition of new evangelicalism, this would be it. These were the words of Jehoshaphat, the new evangelical, the compromiser. Your people, my people, I and you, same. How could that be? You are a believer. You are a Christian. Ahab was an idolater. He was an evil man who married a more evil wife than him. How could he say that I am just as you are? You are not. But that is exactly what happens when you compromise, when you sit down at the same table and try to exchange ideas and have dialogue with liberals and modernists who attack Christ, who attack the Bible, who attack God. Ahab bowed down to idols. Ahab had many Baal prophets to help him, to support him in his deception. Sure, they still use the name Jehovah, no doubt about that. But the places of worship were in Dan and Bethel, and in these two places there was a golden calf. Ahab bowed down and worshipped in front of this golden calf. And his wife Jezebel was an evil woman. Sure, she was a princess. Sure, she was a noble woman of royal blood. But she was an evil, wicked woman. She had no problem killing people, killing God's people, destroying God's work. How can Jehoshaphat say, I and you, we are the same. My people and your people the same. How can that be? But that is exactly what happens, isn't it? When you are the leader, say that Ahab and me, we are one and the same. And you represent the people. You represent the whole nation in this case. It's just like a pastor who goes to another church that is not a church. And then he says that we are the same. We worship the same way. We believe in the same God. That's exactly what it means. But far from it, how can Jehoshaphat, who truly knew who God was in his life, say these words to Ahab, whom he knew was a compromiser and an idolater and worshipped a totally different God, even though the name might be the same. It's just like asking us to share the same pulpit and exchange pulpit with charismatics, with the Roman Catholics, with Mormons, with the Seventh-day Adventists. We are different. We don't worship the same God. How can we say that you and I, we are the same? Let's exchange pulpit. We cannot sit there and have any form of spiritual fellowship with them. We are not saying that, well, if my mom, my dad, my brother, my sister, they are of this persuasion, I cannot go to their home for reunion dinner. We are not talking about that kind of fellowship. There is nothing spiritual about it. You are not going there as a pastor. You're going there as a son. You're going there as a brother. It's different. Do not confuse the issue. He was not just going there as a relative. He was going there to help defend Ahab's kingdom. He was a king. And for him to compromise and to allow his son to marry Ahab's daughter must never be done, because it was a national witness, not an ecclesiastical witness. Therefore, as a nation, what he did was terrible, terribly a compromise. New evangelicalism is not a sin that remains with you. It affects, it influences the lives of people around you. And the greater your influence, the greater will be your influence and damage. And that was exactly what happens. And the people closest to him will be his son. And that's exactly what happened. That's what he did. And he will pay a heavy price for it, as you will see later on in the next few verses. A very, very heavy price. A price that he will probably regret for the rest of his life. If he was born again, and we believe that Jehoshaphat was, based upon certain verses and passages in the scriptures. But the damage that he did to himself and to his family and to the witness and testimony of Christ was irreparable. Just have a glimpse of what happened to his son, Jehoram. After Jehoshaphat died, you look at 2 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 1 to verse 4. This was after his death. That is why the topic is called a deadly disease. It's not just a disease, it's a deadly disease. You read what happens. Verse 1, 2 Chronicles 21. Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And Jehoram his son reigned in his stead. And he had brethren, the sons of Jehoshaphat, Azariah, Yahiel, Zechariah, Azariah, Mikael, Shephatiah. All these were the sons of Jehoshaphat, king of Israel. And their father, that is Jehoshaphat, gave them great gifts of silver and of gold, and of precious things with fenced cities in Judah. And so he gave to all the other sons cities and a lot of wealth. But the kingdom gave he to Jehoram, who married Athaliah, because he was the firstborn, the oldest. Now watch what happened in verse 4. After his father died, and when Jehoram was risen up to the kingdom of his father, once his reign was more or less settled down and established, he strengthened himself. Now how did he strengthen himself? Now he had to make sure that there would be no one to challenge his throne. He did not definitely walk by faith, trusting in God to help him maintain his kingdom. He wanted to use the way of the world. Where do you think he learned it from? With a wife like Athaliah, a mother-in-law like Jezebel. What did he do? He slew all his brethren with a sword, and diverse also of the princes of Israel, anyone and everyone who was a threat to his kingdom. That was related to Jehoshaphat, his father, also related to him, he killed. The deadly disease of neo-evangelicalism, it will affect and influence, it will ruin and destroy not only your own life and your own witness and testimony, but the lives and witness of the people that you are to look after, the people that you are to care, and the people who look up to you, to take care of them. And that's what happens. What are the symptoms of this disease? He said he will want to join Ahab for battle. Fine. Very good. Now let's see what happens. Look at some of the symptoms of a new evangelical when they compromise. This is the disease that will afflict them. Verse 4 to verse 17, we have the first. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Now we are going to battle. Many lives will be at risk. Let us find out from the Lord what the Lord says about this battle. And therefore the king of Israel gathered together of prophets 400 men, and he said unto them, shall we go to Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? Should we go or should we not go? And they said, go up, for God will deliver it into the king's hand. So all 400 voices unanimously said to Ahab, go up, God's will, go and fight, you'll be fine. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord? Now, why did he make this statement? Perhaps the dressing of these 400 prophets that belonged to Israel, they were different. They looked different. For whatever reason, he knew that they did not speak the voice of the Lord. And so he asked Ahab, is there not a prophet? We just want one true prophet. We don't need that many, we just need one. A prophet of the Lord, that we may ask of him for his opinion. And then the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, yes, there is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. Why? Why do you hate him? Well, he never prophesied good unto me, but always evil. The name is Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Now, don't jump to conclusion. Just give him a chance, all right? How can he always say evil, right? I mean, and the king of Israel called for one of his officers and said, fetch quickly Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat either of them on his throne, clothed in their robes, and they sat in the void place at the entering in of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them, and so they waited. And Zedekiah, the son of Kenaanah, had made him horns of iron and said, thus saith the Lord, with these thou shalt push Syria until they be consumed. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And the messenger that went to call Micaiah spake to him, saying, behold, the words of the prophets declare good to the king. With one assent, let thy word therefore, I pray thee, be like one of theirs, and speak thou good. Now everything was supposed to be controlled by the king. And so the king's messenger, sent by Ahab, went out to Micaiah and said, hey Micaiah, do you know what all the 400 prophets said? They all said the same message. Please join them, let it be 100% unanimous. This was what they said. They told the king, go, you'll be fine, go out to Ramoth Gilead, and the Lord will prosper you. Please say the same thing. Is that how you deal with God's word? Now this was the conduct and behavior of Ahab and Ahab's counselors. These are the prophets of Ahab. How can Jehoshaphat say, I and we are the same? You don't tamper with God's word. You don't manipulate God's word to such an extent whereby the word of God is supposed to suit what you want it to say. But this is exactly what we find today, isn't it? Similar. The word of God is used, of course, but the word of God is used to support what is ready in our mind, what is ready in our heart. We just use the Bible as proof text to deceive the people, to give some form of authority, to authenticate that this is what comes from the Lord. And this is what you find in many charismatic churches, you find in many of these churches today, including some Bible Presbyterian churches said to say. We have to mention Bible Presbyterian because if we dare not point fingers at our own who have compromised and become new evangelicals, how dare we point fingers at others, isn't it? The mountain churches like Mount Carmel, Mount Hebron, They are all neo-evangelicals. They have compromised. Their pastors have compromised. Go onto their website. See who they support. What are the group they support? What are the parachurch groups that they encourage their members to participate in? And you will realize that they are indeed neo-evangelicals. Not close to the spectrum of fundamentalism, but very much closer to the spectrum at the other end, which is very close to liberals and modernists. This is the end times that we are living in. It is not a joke. The evidence is all around us. The question is, will we open our eyes to see? Do you really want to see? It's all out there. They are not ashamed. They put it out on the website. You just have to click it, type in their names, and you can see it and witness it. You can read it. See who are the people, what are the groups that they support. They support them. You can tell. You think they care much for God's word? Sure, they say they care. They have to. They're not going to use any other book as to support their false teachings, because that would be foolish. They will not succeed in their delusion and deception. You think you want to deceive Christians and you don't use the Bible? Then what book do you use? What book do you want to use? You're going to write your own book and put down that quacks one you follow? Who would be so stupid to follow you? Of course you have to use the Bible. But of course you have to change the Word of God. That's exactly what they try to do behind the scenes to deceive Jehoshaphat. And Micaiah said, well, as the Lord liveth, even what my God said, that will I speak. Now that was Micaiah's reply in verse 13. And when he was come to the king, now you watch what he did. The king said to him, Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And he said, go ye up and prosper, and they shall be delivered into your hand. Now, words cannot capture the tone. Now after he said these words, now you look at the king of Israel's reply. How many times shall I adjure you? How many times shall I scold you that thou say nothing but the truth to me in the name of the Lord? Yeah, you see? Now this was Ahab. Now, it must be the tone. The tone must sound very sarcastic. Because Ahab didn't believe Micaiah. Because Micaiah answered exactly what he was told by the messenger, and so he did it. But somehow the way he said it caused Ahab to scold him. Come on, I want the truth. Tell me the truth. And then he said, verse 16, I did see all Israel scattered upon the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return thereof every man to his house in peace. In other words, you're going to lose. You're going to die. That's exactly what it means. No shepherd. That means no more king to lead them. That means you king, you're going to die. And then the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, you see, did I not tell thee that he would not prophesy good unto me but evil, you see? So what is wrong with Ahab? Micaiah sang the same tune the first time as all the other foreign prophets. Somehow the way he did it caused Ahab to scold him. Please tell me the truth. And then he told him the truth. And now you say, you see, he always preach evil against me. Truth suppressed. That is problem number one. They like to suppress the truth. They say they want the truth, but they don't want the truth. Like Ahab. He said he wanted the truth, right? And yet when the truth is told to him, he doesn't like it. He doesn't want it. He doesn't appreciate it. But that is what happens. And that is exactly the kind of impact that Jehoshaphat will have. You want to have relationship, spiritual fellowship with such individuals? They say they love God. They say they love the Bible. They say they promote the Bible. But all they do is to suppress the truth, suppress the Bible. They say one thing, they do another. They do one thing, they say another. And then you want to have any form of fellowship with them? You may be sincere, you may be genuine, but you are wrong in your sincerity. Because in your compromise, you're going to affect people in the most grotesque way. You're going to lead people astray. These people look up to you, Jehoshaphat. Your son looked up to you. Your people followed you. The people believe in what you say and what you do. You can pass laws. You have great influence. But when you compromise,
The same influence will not be toward godliness, but toward carnality. The influence will still be the same. The strength and the power of his influence as king has not diminished. Sure, those who are discerning will reject what he is doing. But how many of people on this earth, how many in this church, could be said to be discerning? You will find that by and large, most people in the nation of Israel and Judah, most people in churches today, they are really like sheep. They really follow their shepherd. They really follow, and sometimes blindly, which should not be the case. But when the shepherd does not teach the sheep to know God's word, and they will look to the shepherd as if he is God, what else do you expect? They will follow blindly. But what they have done is to suppress the truth. They don't really want to know the truth. When the truth is spoken, instead of pointing fingers at Micaiah, he should have just simply sat down quietly and ponder. Why will God want me dead? He should look deep into his own heart, fix his own spiritual depravity and sin and wickedness. That should have been his correct response. But when you compromise, you think you're going to go there and tell them that you are wicked, you are evil? You're not going to do that. They want you to say nice things because you want them to receive you, to accept you. And so therefore, even though you see the errors of their ways, you're not going to point it out. Herod Orkanger never did. He did not point out the errors. Next week, when we have the conclusion, the antidote, we're going to talk more about Herod Orkanger, how he changed, instead of how he tried to change the liberals and the modernists. He was changed by them, just as you see how Ahab changed Jehoshaphat and not the other way around. And the impact, the disease spread to his sons and to the people that looked up to him. And he destroyed them. He destroyed their lives. You want to be a new evangelical? That is the best way to destroy the congregation. A mindset of compromise, a mindset where you want the appreciation from the world, you want the world to love you. The world in darkness cannot love the light. Please accept this. If they love you, they should have loved your master, the Lord Jesus Christ, but they crucified him. Do you know that? And now you say the same world that crucified my Lord has changed? It has not changed. It has become worse than before because now it is the last days of the last days. It is worse now. You think the Lord has changed? No, the Lord has not changed. And the world has gone worse. So how can the world and the Lord, how can the world and the followers of the Lord have fellowship? The way that Jehoshaphat say, you are one, my people, and you, we are the same. We will never be the same. As long as you are of God, the world is of the devil, you will never be the same. Never. They are not going to change without Christ. They can't change without Christ. And you say you have Christ, but when you change, then what you say that you have Christ, you don't have Christ. You don't have Christ at all. That's how serious this disease of neo-evangelicalism is. You can say all you want that you are a Christian today, but if Jesus does not accept you, you can forget it. You are deceiving yourself. You are not a believer because you say you are one. You are not a child of God because you say you are one. I'm sure you know that. If that is possible, I can adopt my own father, right? That's basically what it means, right? I can adopt my own father. Then I will go to the court. Please give me the form I'd like to apply. I'd like to adopt. I want to adopt a father. Who do you think I want to adopt? You think I'm going to adopt a poor man to be my father? I will look for the richest fella. I don't know who's the richest man now. Let's say Bill Gates. Alright, so I'm going to go to the court. Give me the form. After I finish, stamp, authorize, approve. Please now inform Bill Gates he has a new son. So when he dies, please remember me. So from now onwards, don't call me Quack, call me Gates. Can it happen? Of course you can't happen. You cannot adopt a father. The father can adopt the son. The son can't adopt the father. It's undone. It's ridiculous. Otherwise, Bill Gates will have millions and millions of sons. Billions of sons, right? You think in the spiritual realm, the father adopts us. We don't adopt him. You can say, I'm a Christian. Therefore, you're a Christian. It doesn't work that way. God says, if you are my child, you live as a child of God. You behave as a child of God. You think as a child of God. You are motivated with the heart that God gives you as a child of God. And you do not ever suppress the truth. Truth must be paramount to you. Now, watch. Jehoshaphat witnessed all these. Sure, he did not know about what the messenger said to Micaiah, but he heard these words. That's why Ahab turned to him sulkingly and said, well, you see, I told you, right, Jehoshaphat? You see, I told you. Always evil he spoke about me, never good. Verse 18 to 27. Truth suppressed, now truth rejected. Again he said, therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting upon his throne. Now this is Micaiah. What exactly is he saying? This is like a parable. This is like a saying that Micaiah used to now rebuke the false prophets. 400 of them. Now he is one man against 400. Look at the courage of this man. Hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne. Not that he actually saw. He just say this. Alright. As a message to the 400 prophets. And all the hosts of heaven standing on the right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall entice Ahab, king of Israel, that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one spake saying after this manner, another saying after that manner. Then there came out a spirit and stood before the Lord. And then said, I will entice him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? What are you going to do? And he said, well, I will go out. And then I will be a lying spirit in his mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, all right, thou shalt entice him, and thou shalt also prevail. Go out and do even so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil against thee. Now these are the words of Micaiah rebuking the 400 prophets. Not that God will send an evil spirit. He's just using this story to tell them to as a message to the 400 false prophets. Now you watch the reaction of the false prophets. Then Zedekiah, the son of Kenaanah, came near and smote Micaiah upon the cheek and said, which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? We have the Spirit of God. You don't, you are one man. When did the Spirit of God that was in me went over to you? And Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see on that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. Then the king of Israel said, take ye Micaiah, carry him back to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus said the king, put this fellow in the prison and feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I return in peace. Micaiah, no, die, I'm finished. He will never return, so I'm probably going to stay in prison, eat bread and drink water all my life. I mean, this is it. Micaiah knew. Micaiah believed in the prophecy that God gave to him regarding Ahab. Ahab says, put him in prison, give him bread and water until I return in peace. And Micaiah said, if thou certainly return in peace, then hath not the Lord spoken by me. And he said, hearken all ye people, all of you listen. And that was it. They rejected his truth. They thought that by putting the messenger into prison, the truth could just simply be destroyed. How foolish, isn't it? They can kill all the prophets on earth, and that will not in any way affect the truth. Because the truth will always be the truth. Ahab, you'll die means you'll die. No matter what happens, God is not going to be mocked. God's not going to have his hands tied because you bound all his prophets. They are just the messenger. You mean by tying up, incarcerating all the messengers, God also will be incarcerated? You can't stop God. You and I must realize that as children of God, you have the greatest honor bestowed upon you by God himself. To be his messenger, to be his mouthpiece, to go out into the world that is in darkness with the message of Jesus Christ. Yes, you will be persecuted. Jesus warns us, not only are we called to believe in Christ, but also to suffer for his name's sake. So please be prepared. Don't shy away from it. Don't go out and look for it. But when it comes, don't shun. Like Micaiah, he stood his ground. He was not moving. He's not going to change his message. He can't. As a true prophet, he cannot allow his own comfort and safety and security to cause him to change the message that God gave to him. Because he knew, even if he changed, the message will not change, isn't it? Let's say if Micaiah said, alright, it will not happen, you're going to survive. So please, don't put me in prison. Let me go out and go back home to my family, let me just have my freedom. Now if Micaiah will say that, you think Ahab, when he goes to battle, he will live? No, he will still die. The truth of God will always be the truth. Now God says, I have given you the honor to be the messenger of my truth. Will you fail me or will you honor me? By declaring the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Will you? Very plain and simple. Jehoshaphat failed. How could he sit there next to Ahab, observe all these things and not do anything about it? You know that Micaiah was a prophet of the Lord. You saw what they did to Micaiah. You saw the humiliation that they did to Micaiah. You saw the strength and the courage of Micaiah and you just sat there. What else can he do? He had already lost all his moral righteousness. Ethically, he had already disqualified himself. By his compromise, by his son's marriage to Athaliah, he had already lost his moral authority to even say anything. Definitely he couldn't do anything. And that's exactly what happens when you compromise. You will lose your moral authority and you will become useless in the cause of Christ. Like Jehoshaphat. He just sat there like a dumb little dog. Couldn't do anything. What could he say? What could he say? Nothing. I am as thou art. He said these words. My people as thy people. I and you same. So therefore, whatever Ahab say, I also agree. That's what he said to Ahab. How could he now disagree? He had lost moral authority. And you think his son will respect him? You think his son will be very pleased with his worship in Jerusalem inside the right temple? Every time he will go up north and visit his mother-in-law and he will see Ahab worshiping in front of the golden calf? The people closest to him will be impacted the worst. The people furthest from Jehoshaphat, where the influence is the least, will suffer the least. So in other words, you want your son, your daughters to die and end up in hell so that you will be the greatest stumbling block for them to reject Christianity. Please be a Jehoshaphat. Please compromise. Because that's the bottom line. They look up to you. The people in the Sunday school look up to you, Sunday school teachers. The way that you live, the way that you speak, the way that you dress, everything about you. If it is not holy, if it is not godly, and they look up to you, especially if you are a dynamic teacher, that influence every week in their lives by the way that you compromise, you answer to the Lord. And if they think that, well, Christians can be like this, my Sunday school teacher is like this, so therefore I can be like this. If it is not like God, then it is like the world. And if it is like the world, it will be like Satan. No two ways. There's no third. Either or. You cannot have both. And if you are a hypocrite, you can rest assured they are going to observe your hypocrisy. They're going to follow your hypocrisy. Truth, suppress it. And then truth, reject it. Reject the messenger. Incarcerate him. Shut him up. That's what they did. And Jehoshaphat just sat there and he did nothing. Look at the third response and reaction, which is the worst of all. Now, if Ahab did not believe what Micaiah said about his death, then why did he do what he did from verse 28 onwards? So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth Gilead, and the king of Israel said to foolish Jehoshaphat, now the word foolish that I add on, alright? My Bible doesn't have it, yours definitely will not have it, but I add it on. That's why you look at how foolish he was. You look, I will disguise myself, okay? I will disguise myself. That means I will not dress like a king. I will dress like an ordinary soldier and will go to battle. But thou put on thy robes, so you dress like a king. So when people see me, they think you are me. You see how... I did not use the word. How foolish! How foolish Jehoshaphat was, isn't it? This is going out to battle. This is not going out for a badminton match, you know. This is not soccer, you know. Right? They kick you, kick only you hurt your foot. This is battle, you die, okay? You die. And so the king of Israel disguised himself and they went to battle. You see Jehoshaphat? He just did it. Because he said what? I and you same, right? And not really same. And now the king of Syria, so it's not the Philistines, I beg your pardon, it's the Syrians. Syrians are up north. Commanded the captains of the chariots that were with him, saying, fight ye not with small or great, save only with the king of Israel. Now somehow they said, please look out for the king of Israel. We want him dead. The rest, never mind, just look out for this king. We want him. And it came to pass when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, and that they said, yeah, you see, it is the king of Israel, you see? You see Jehoshaphat? Therefore they compassed about him to fight, but Jehoshaphat cried out, oh yeah, no, I'm not. You see, why did you get yourself in this position? By your compromise, by saying those words, I am as you are. We are the same, my people, your people. So truth suppressed, truth rejected, and then they thought they could disguise the truth. Is it truth disguised? He helped them disguise the truth. He helped Ahab to disguise the truth, to help him tell a lie, in other words. That will be exactly what happens when you compromise. You will give credence to the liberals and the modernists when you sit at the same table with them, when you invite them to the pulpit, when you include their articles in your weekly, in your writings. You are supporting their lies. You give them acceptability in the eyes of your own followers. That's what happens. And so if not for the Lord who helped him, look at the last part of verse 31, and God who moved them to leave him alone, he would have died. And it came to pass that when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back again from pursuing him. And then a certain man drew a bow at a venture, that means, in inverted commas, by chance, smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Because when you shoot an arrow, you just shoot at the whole mass of the Israelite soldiers. And you just shoot, and this arrow found Ahab, even though he was disguised as an ordinary soldier, and hit him between the joints of the harness. That means all his protective gear did not help him. That little chink in his armor, the arrow found the chink that was in his armor and is pierced right through. And then he was mortally wounded. The battle increased that day, howbeit the king of Israel stayed himself up in his chariot against the Syrians until the evening, about the time of the sun going down, and then he died in the evening. Exactly as God had said. They tried to suppress the truth by doctoring it. They tried to destroy the truth, reject it by incarcerating the messenger. And then now they thought that they can despise the truth by pretending that the truth could be just simply twisted and changed by just changing his outward appearance as a king. See how foolish. Not so much Ahab, but Jehoshaphat. Ahab is an idolater. He is in darkness. He doesn't know the truth. He doesn't know at all. But Jehoshaphat, you know the truth. You say you are on God's side. You say you are a believer, a Christian. How could you say those words? You are not helping Ahab. You are destroying him. You are killing him. You are killing him by saying that he and you are the same. That's exactly what happens. When a professing Christian go up to a modernist who attack God and say, you are also a Christian. You are just like me. I am just like you. You are not helping. You are hurting him. You are destroying him. The way that Jehoshaphat hurt and destroyed Ahab. Instead of getting Ahab to repent of his sin, he became party to his deception, his delusion,
and then his death. And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace. You return in peace. But Ahab is dead. And Jehu, another prophet, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him as he returned, and then said to him, Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. That's exactly what God will see. Any compromiser, any evangelical. How can you help the ungodly and love these people who hate me? How could you? How could you? The deadly disease of evangelicalism have destroyed millions of lives because they are found in charismatic churches, they are found in fundamentalist churches. Are there evangelicals in our midst? We can only pray that there will not be. Because if these people rise to positions of leadership, the church is in trouble. And if majority of them rise to positions of leadership, the church is in very serious trouble. Because it is a mindset of compromise, wanting the world to accept them, to receive them. And they will lose moral authority. And the more they enter in, the harder it is for them to get out. Like Jehoshaphat. He could not say anything to stop what happened. He could not. Not at all. And you look at his son. And then when his son killed his own brothers after his death, you think Jehoshaphat was guiltless? With a father like this, allowing the son to marry Athaliah, what do you expect? What do you expect when you say that you are a Christian? And then you say an idolater is also a Christian like you. Somebody who attacked God, somebody who attacked God's word. And then you share the same pulpit and you sit down and have spiritual fellowship with him. What do you expect? They look to you. They see, they witness. And you do things like this and you expect God to bless you? If God were to bless you for this kind of compromises, if God did not send Jehu and God sent another prophet to pat you on the back, Jehoshaphat, then God would be a derelict heavenly father because he would be condoning your sin and encouraging you to sin more. But God is never like that and he will never be like that. Learn from the mistakes of Jehoshaphat. If not for your own sake, for the sake of our children, for the sake of our children's children, even as the Lord tarries, beware of the deadly disease of neo-evangelicalism. Jehoshaphat was born again, but not his son, not his grandson, not his great-grandson, except maybe for Joash, maybe, who was the only survivor that Athaliah could not kill by the grace and the mercies of God. Will you be a new evangelical? Don't be one. It is in the mind. It is in the heart. Do you want the world to love you, to receive you, to accept you? Then you are heading toward new evangelicalism. Let the Lord be the only voice that you must please, the only voice that you must hear. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Let it not be from the voice of the world. Don't let them say to you, well done, my good and faithful servant. Because that will be the voice of the evil one. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, preserve and protect each and every one of us. Preserve and protect thy church, O Lord. For we see many churches, even our own denomination, falling by the wayside because of pastors, elders, and deacons and leaders who have compromised. O Lord, we know that but for your grace and your mercies, we too would be destroyed and consumed. May thou be ever gracious and merciful to preserve us, O Lord, that we may be found faithful even unto the day when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. The Calvary Pandan BP Church will continue to be a haven for those who are outside Christ, that they may find salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And for those who are your children, they may come and grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as they study God's word through this church. O Lord, strengthen, preserve, protect the whole session, that the fear of God will be in every session member's heart, and that they will know that one day each and every one of us will have to give an account of how we have cared for, protected, watched, and fed the flock of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom He has redeemed with His precious blood. Forgive us of all our sins. Strengthen us in these last of the last days. For Jesus' sake, in Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.